Brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We'll talk with a candidate for a state house district race coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and we are just more, actually one day more than a week away from the primary, and opportunity for us to talk State House District 11 race with candidate Daryl Fincher. Thank you for coming in, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Charlie. I really appreciate this. First, I want to recognize Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are out there for yesterday.
And, yes.
You know, you're what made us possible to be here.
Having children is hereditary. If your parents didn't have any, you won't.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But the race for an open seat, Earl Sears, mm-hmm. is term limited, not running, so it is an open seat, and you've picked up the baton and want to run with it.
Well, that's exactly right. And today I wanted to talk a bit about the campaign that we have. As you mentioned, Earl Sears is term limited and can't run again, but I got to tell you, a lot of people here know Earl Sears. I've heard some great stories about Earl's from people who were his students in his first class when he first started teaching. Don't worry, I'm not going to pass those on. They're great stories.
Those are personal stories.
Those are very personal stories, but I'm keeping them to myself. You know, but I've been out knocking doors, talking to a lot of people. I've stood on thousands of doorsteps, talked to, you know, thousands of people. And one of the things I'm really finding out is what people here in Vera and Collinsville and Remote or in Bartlesville are really looking for. You know, there were a wide range of concerns. So mm-hmm. I told people I'm running to improve our education, grow our local economy, and reform our government. But when I stand on the doorstep, we talked about, is this a single issue campaign or not? And I remember our school board president talked about it for him, a single issue. Mm-hmm. For the majority of people I talked to, when I asked them what's on top and they come back with something, their top priority for us to work on the state is on the education. And by far, most of those say we need to properly fund education with what we're doing here.
And I think regardless of what somebody has in mind in those words, properly fund, I think many, if not most people would say, yes, you're correct. Now the devil is in the details. What do you call properly funding?
Well, and that is truly in the details. The first thing that we talk about with them, and I'll tell you, I've been really amazed by just how many people have teachers in the family. Of course, my wife and I are teachers. My mother's a teacher. And so for us, it's just normal. But as I go around, people will tell me, oh, my daughter's a teacher. My son's a teacher. My husband's a teacher. I'm a teacher. I have cousins. I have relatives. My grandmother's a teacher. I'm a retired educator. It just goes on and on and on. And the first thing they talk about is they want to make sure that people stay here in Oklahoma to teach, you know, making sure that there's an adequate salary level that we have, and we haven't had that. We did pass the bill, but, you know, that's got some problems with people wanting to recall the funding source or repeal the funding source for that.
Mm-hmm. And there are some differences of opinion whether if you repeal the funding, would not the requirement to enact the pay still there because they were passed under two different bills?
Well, and that is a real issue for people to talk about. And realistically, if you don't have the funding, by the Oklahoma Constitution, we are required to have a balanced budget. Our budget has to be balanced. It's not like we can borrow the money, so we either have to find the money or the legislature will be forced to go through and cut the budget for everybody trying to do it, which of course would mean that those raises would then be back on the table, which is not what anybody wants.
And the money which was designated for education, not in the budget, but like you said, the state overall pie has shrunk. Mm-hmm. But so do you take it all from that source, or do you spread the pain around? That would be up to people that get elected.
That's exactly right. And my goal is to even avoid getting to that by making sure that we don't repeal that the repeal effort does not succeed.
And that's, I'm sure, one of the things that you're talking to people on their doorstep or step inside because it's hot out there and let's talk.
Yes. Yes, we do. We occasionally do step inside when people invite us in. Sometimes it's hard to leave because it's so cool inside and so hard outside. But we do talk about that. There are some people, of course, who are not as, and I want to make sure that I understand what people want when I talk to them, which is why I want to recognize there are some people who think that we're not spending our money properly in education, that possibly we should be reducing the amount of funding that we want to go in education. But as I tell people, I make my decisions based on evidence. And so I'm digging way down through this. I've got a good idea of what's going on, but I'm digging down through this so that when I do talk to people, I can state my case and I can pull the facts and figures for it. Second, of course, is if we do get the, you know, teacher raises, we're just a beginning. We do have a problem with too many students in a classroom right now. And I think this kind of gets just a short story about one of the questions I always often get asked on the doorstep is, Daryl, why are you running? You know, why would you want to go up there?
I asked that question, I think, the first time that we sat, and I say it to most candidates. You know, this is the longest job interview you've ever had.
Well, it is. And as I tell people, you know, I'm not an establishment candidate. I've never been in politics. I never wanted to run for office. I've never been interested in running for office. It's never been my dream. Yet here I am standing on your doorstep asking for a vote. And the reason for that is over the past couple of years, as I was working throughout the state with superintendents and I was talking with superintendents, I was helping improve the technology that they have and the broadband that they have. I was talking with them and I mentioned their stories started off gloomy. And then it started truly grim. And last summer, it's like the 2 years before were a disaster, and it was another disaster shaping up in the making. I kept waiting for somebody to step up with solutions, and I kept waiting. And then one day you look in the mirror, it's like, I think that's me. And I finally realized I had to do it. My wife and I spent a long time talking about this because it's a major commitment. It's a major commitment in time and effort. I had to quit my job to do this. But that's why I'm doing it. I want to make things better in education. I also want to make things better in our budgeting process. Yes, I know it's tough, but somebody has to do it, and I'm willing to do it.
Well, and we talked before we went on the air, you know, as people perceive this as a single issue campaign, or at least the issue of the year, if not a single, mm-hmm. you know, single issue. And I'm sure that many voters have a single issue that makes the decision for them versus candidate A versus candidate B. This is the issue that I think everybody seems to be talking about. Education or education funding, classroom funding, however you want to word it, and that can mean mm-hmm. different things to different people.
Well, that's right. That is the top issue. But for others, by less than a third of the ones who are pro-education, their top one comes out as what I classify as budget. Mm-hmm. They want to see a better budgeting process. But most of them start off with, well, I want to see an audit of the agencies because, you know, people have talked about it. Where's all that money going? And they're absolutely right. It's hard to figure out where money in an agency goes, you know, like the Department of Human Services and SDE. It's like, it seems opaque. You'd think with all the powerful computer systems, you could just call it up. It's not that simple. But we know that with a close to $8 billion budgeting process that we have in Oklahoma, is there waste? Is there fraud? Is there abuse? Yes, any company that's large, you'll find some waste, you'll find some fraud, and you'll find some abuse. And so they talk about audits, and we want to talk about the two different kinds of audits. One is a financial audit. Let's find the money. Well, a financial audit can go in, it can help you find the money, and when it does it, it will also help find out where there's a broken part, and you fix that broken part. And so suddenly, you may have a well-functioning part, but you've got a broken system. And so now you have a well-functioning part and a broken system.
Right.
The second type of audit is what's called a performance audit. Those are used for government entities and nonprofits because they don't make a profit. And they basically look at, are you accomplishing your mission? Are you doing what the mission should be? Are you doing it effectively and efficiently? And that's the second type of audit. That's a little bit more in depth. And so both of those can be helpful in figuring it out. But the third item that I talk to people about is really, our problem is we know so much more now than we did 100 and even 50 and even 20 years ago about what it means to run an effective, efficient, transparent, and accountable government agency, that it's really time to start at the top of the agencies and lay out a series of guidelines for what makes an effective and efficient and transparent and accountable government, and start redoing the agencies from the top so that they are well run. Companies do this. I was in a company that actually ended up doing this, and it makes a huge difference in how that works.
It does. And I think, I know for a fact you're not the only person talking about that, the audit system overall and the different components that make that up. We'll continue talking about that and more in this House District 11 race when we continue on 1400 K1 in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, continuing our conversation this morning with candidate for State House District 11, Daryl Fincher. And Daryl, first of all, before we get into another issue, there is a forum tomorrow night at Arvest Eastside Branch. People can hear from you and other candidates, sponsored by the Green Country Republican Women.
That's right. And they'll be able to go in and listen to it, but it's also going to be streamed on Facebook, and also you will be there, Charlie.
Right.
You're going to be moderating it with Nathan from the Examiner Enterprise. I encourage people to show up in person because you can talk to us, or to, if not that, listen to it. It's on the radio.
Right. We have a number of different ways, but in person is, I think, best choice all the time, because you get to see the expression on the candidate's face, read their level of sincerity or their level of enthusiasm on that particular question. There's a meet and greet before, and then you'll have some time afterwards as well, too, one-on-one with the candidates.
That's right.
And that's a lot of what we're talking about this morning, the result of some of those one-on-ones that you've had, shaking people's hand as you knock unexpectedly at their door and say there's an election coming up. We need to talk about it.
Well, there is, and I think I enjoy talking with people at their doorstep and finding out what their concerns are. You know, as we get in, I want to make sure, when you know that, I phrase it, we're working on the things we can operate at the state level. There are some things that are, you know, federal. It's in the U.S. Constitution. They're passed by U.S. laws. We really don't work with those down here. That's why we have a congressional delegate. We have our two senators from Oklahoma, and there's also the primary coming up to elect a replacement for Jim Bridenstine, our representative, who
right.
is now at NASA.
Exactly. And of course, other parts of education law have been decided by court decisions at the federal and or state level, and even less local input on that, because some judge sitting in some federal chair somehow decided that we aren't doing IEPs correctly, or the fact that you need an IEP to begin with.
Yes, an IEP, for people who may not know, is an individualized education plan, which is used for often students with special needs, just to be able to figure out how they're doing it. Yes, that becomes a challenge for how we work with it, how our State Department of Education works with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, but in talking with that, you know, we talked about IEPs. I've had parents tell me about the challenges that their children with special need have had within our public schools. You know, and how we really need to see more funding to help them, because we want every child to become a productive member of society who is also happy in what they're doing.
And that frequently can result in additional expenses because of additional manpower, additional hours, additional materials that can be needed for individualized instruction.
Well, that's correct. Now, there are additional expenses. We've all heard about, quote, the formula, state aid formula.
Which is there, and it's bandied about frequently in board meetings, and probably will be tonight in Bartlesville.
Well, that's correct. But one of the other things is children with special needs also get some federal funding. And one of the things that...
Not as much as is required under law, but it helps.
Right, not as much as required. And how many schools handle it, for example, here in Bartlesville, we're fortunate to have a large school district that is able to provide many of those services themselves. The rural schools actually end up with, many times they will get together and form what's called an interlocal cooperative. It's just a fancy name. Oklahoma law allows students or schools to cooperate together to serve any function, and often that's done for special ed. And part of the reason I got into the race is when I was talking with superintendents of one of these interlocal cooperatives, she was telling me about a school that pulled out where the superintendent of the school pulled out and said, you know, I can't afford to keep paying my share because all the federal funding was going to the cooperative. And he said, you know, I've got to keep my buses running. It's like, wow. He just had to make a decision about which child to serve least. And that's just not right. That goes to show just how little funding that we're actually putting into our system right now.
Mm-hmm. And it does make a difference. And I can sympathetically put myself in the shoes of that superintendent because there is a transportation need as
right.
well.
So, oh, yeah. Definitely. They've got to get all the kids to school.
Competing needs, and that's what, I guess, why superintendents get the big bucks.
Right, exactly. One of the other things that we've run into is, as I've talked with them, and the personal stories, I've talked about those personal stories. I've heard personal testimonials about what the opioid crisis is doing to people's families. And, you know, when you talk to people about that, it's like, yes, this is a serious issue. You may see it on the news, but that is a very serious issue that we have. Mental health has come up. Mental health in the criminal justice system has come up. And I encourage people to tell me about these. I was talking with one lady the other night, and the question was, is, you know, she said, well, nobody really wants to hear what I think. And I said, yes, I'd love to. So she started telling me about, you know, some of the issues that she's been have getting medical treatment. And, you know, for those, while I may not be able to directly affect that, it's like, yes, those are things that we need to be able to consider when we're talking about working with a medical treatment. How does it affect the constituents here? And I think one of the key points that I'm working on is, as I talk to constituents, I want to be clear, a representative's job is to represent them. And my goal is to make sure that they have the number one claim on my time. You know, I'll have an open door policy. They're able to reach me by cell phone, contact them via email. My goal is to respond to every email message that I get from them. We also want to have regular town meetings, but also start looking at virtual town halls. I know a bit about technology. I've done it for years. Work with virtual town halls where even if you can't get out and travel, because this is kind of a big district from end to end, that we can all get together and actually have a conversation about that. So I want to make sure that the constituents are in front and center of what I'm doing.
And I think that's important for, regardless of who gets the job, is it, like you said, the first part of the word is represent. Mm-hmm. And that representation gets lost in larger issues. So it happens.
Oh, definitely it does happen. So it's much more, and I understand that there are going to be a lot of claims on my time, but the constituents are number one.
So in the remaining time we have left, I know you're going to be out and around. There are probably people who have not yet face-to-faced you, and you're available. They can send you a text message or contact you via email or the web, right?
Yes, they can contact me on the web, which is fincherforhouse.org. That's just F-I-N-C-H-E-R-F-O-R, house.org. They can also send me a text or call me at 918-328-2030, which rings right in my pocket, except when I'm out in the country because I've lost cell signal out there sometimes.
There are some dark spots in the county, and the cell providers probably need to do something about that.
Well, that's right. And I'll be out there this evening and afternoon. It's like when you said heat index in the triple digits, it's like, oh, man.
I will give you some good news, at least if you can call it good news. A high only about 88 tomorrow, and at least a 20% chance for some rain in the afternoon. We'll see how that forecast all works out.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I do want to tell people, if they think change is important and, you know, and you want to be accurately represented, go out and vote. I've heard too many people saying, you know, I don't really participate. You got to get out and vote. It starts Thursday, Friday. We got time on Saturday. I'm sure you'll be announcing a lot.
Sure.
Official day is Tuesday a week from tomorrow.
Not too late to request an absentee ballot, but to get that done now, because it does take two postal transactions. They have to mail you the absentee ballot. You mark it, mail it back to the election board. It has to be in their hands as of, whenever the mail is delivered on Tuesday.
Yes.
Daryl Fincher, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I want to make sure we get the spelling of your name correct, because it is not the common spelling.
Yes. Thanks, Mom. It is D-E-R-R-E-L, two E's, two R's, one L.
Fincher, common spelling.
Yes. So Daryl at fincherforhouse.org. email me.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning. It is a week and a day from Election Day. Do your homework and then get out and participate in the electoral process. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. Bacon College.